Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This bottom is too, well, they're too far, you know. I'll again repeat myself. Good morning. Welcome to today's meeting. With us, we have got Agrima South Africa, whom we met early this year, or the middle of this year, to discuss about their strategic plan. I'd also like to welcome CBE and your professional council to this meeting. We had a very hectic week. Last week we met with CIDB and IDT to discuss the annual report, of which we are satisfied with the two entities, their performance. And yesterday we had a long day with the Department of Public Works on their annual report. It was hectic. And this morning we are going to attend to our annual report. And we'll expect you to be honest to us so that if there are issues that need to be attended to, the gaps that are there, the problems or challenges that are there, and the good that is there, your achievements and the targets that you met and the targets that you did not meet, we need to deal with it. And on that note, I would like to welcome Agrima to make their presentation. I'll give you, I don't know, we need to negotiate 30 minutes of 1 hour. 7 minutes. So 7 minutes for the presentation, and thereafter we'll engage. Over to you, Agrima South Africa.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Ntebo Ngobo. I am a board member of Agrima SA. With me is Vanessa Adele. He is an employee of Agrima. We've got Louise Ape-Opperman. She's the finance manager, and then we've got the CEO, Mr. Joe Odiama. I'm here, I'm representing the chairperson, Mr. Pepi Silinga, who could not make it today. Just a brief introduction about the entity. Agrima SA is basically a French name meaning fit for purpose. What we do, we certify products which do not have standards. Basically, if one person would say, for argument's sake, would decide to make a brick out of cotton wool, for argument's sake, that is a product that is a material that does not have a standard. And then they will bring it to Agrima. We run the necessary tests and see whether that product is going to be fit for the purpose that they say it's going to be used for. And then if it passes, we then give the applicant a certificate. And the difference between New Agrima and SAPS is that SAPS focuses more on the standards of products that already exist. So I'm now going to give a chance to Mr. Odiama to do the presentation.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members of the Petroleum Committee, ladies and gentlemen. It is my great pleasure to present the Parliamentary Portfolio Committee on Public Works on the 2010-2011 annual report. On the first slide, I have the contents of the presentation, which I believe you all have, as well as copies of the annual report which was circulated to you earlier on. The first part of the presentation will cover the strategic overview that links our purpose, our mandate, and what we do, and how it relates to government. We will then look at the performance of the 2010-2011 annual report in terms of technical outputs, and the finance manager, Louisa, will cover the financial aspects, the financial outputs. So, ladies and gentlemen, In terms of the strategic overview, AGMA provides strategic support to the Department of Public Works in accordance with its mandate. And it focuses on key issues specifically relating to its mandate. Thank you. Thank you, Honorable Chair. Honorable members, ladies and gentlemen, AGRIMA focuses, as an agency of government, must focus on key performance areas and align its mandate with government strategic objectives. And we believe that our mandate falls squarely within government's mandate, which are related to skills development, job creation, the EPWP, as well as service delivery. And in my presentation today, I will try and illustrate how the various technical outputs align itself within government's key performance areas. We believe that these activities will enable government to restore the dignity of the people who live under disadvantaged circumstances. We believe that by undertaking this technical assessment of innovative construction technologies, we will be able to bring innovative products which will be able to enable government to provide improved methods of construction within the South African country. I'd just like to illustrate that the reason we cover only non-standardized products and the assessment therefore is that it is the only way whereby if somebody produces something innovative or something new for which there are no standards, it is the only way they can bring it to the market, because the Bureau of Standards deals with products for which there are existing standards. We cover those products for which there are no standards. So we deal in the unknown area whereby if somebody comes with an innovative product and there are no standards, we develop the standards and then go ahead and carry out the assessment thereof. In terms of our support to the Department of Public Works, we believe that our mandate is in line with national government guidelines that reflect outcome-based priorities. In other words, we focus on outputs and outcomes. We believe that the products we assess must be in line with national priorities, which I mentioned earlier, include skills development, training opportunities, job creation, etc. And within our planning, we must look at the short and medium and long term, as well as believe that these new products will lead to bringing a better life to all. A lot of the products we develop here, as I'll illustrate later, can lead to doing more with less input. I will illustrate that later when I look at the technical output. Our mission is to promote government's objectives of economic development and raising the living standards and prosperity for all the people in South Africa. And ladies and gentlemen, I believe that the agency achieves this by encouraging and facilitating the use of innovative, non-standardized construction products and systems through its certification system, which undertakes technical assessments of innovative construction products to assess their fitness for purpose. So that's a key aspect which I'd like, ladies and gentlemen, to remember, that we focus only on innovative products and we assess their fitness for purpose. We do not deal with products for which they are standard or standardized products which have standards have been developed. We support government's five key priority areas, and I will mention these key priority areas as being: one, the economic development by carrying out technical assessments; We believe that in terms of infrastructure maintenance and provision, we believe that several of the new products can assist in infrastructure maintenance and provision. I'll just mention one product now at this particular stage. We believe that the thin concrete roads, which have been certificated, as well as the thin asphalt roads, can contribute by being able to have infrastructure constructed and maintained at a lower cost than conventional materials or products. In terms of rural development, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to say that Agrima has products that are fit and ideally suited to be used in deep rural areas. Ladies and gentlemen, one example is the products which are much lighter in weight than conventional materials and therefore can be transported to deep rural areas easier than conventional materials. This is just one example. There are several other examples of products which are also suitable for deep rural areas. Another example is a standalone sanitation system which can be used in areas where there is no sewer reticulation system. These are just examples of products which support government priority area number 3. In terms of government priority area number 4, in terms of sustainable resource management, by introducing performance as part of the technical assessment. I'll just mention one particular area. The government recently passed and published the new energy efficiency regulations, 10400 Part XA, as well as SANS, the South African National Standards, SANS 204, which deal with energy efficiency in buildings. This is an ideal opportunity for Agrima to develop technical criteria to assess products and to be able to encourage the use of innovative products which encourage sustainable use of resources. Therefore, Agrima aligns itself very squarely with government priority area number 4. In terms of government priority area number 5, improved public service delivery, we believe that the innovative products, ladies and gentlemen, may be utilized in public service infrastructure development, and I will illustrate this key further on. In terms of the key activities articulated, we believe that South Africa, Agrima, contributes to raising the standards in the South African construction industry by introducing modern, more efficient, and advanced construction products, as well as developing objectives for quality management and monitoring and evaluation in all aspects of the quantity of output, and thereby making a difference in the lives of South Africans by enhancing service delivery through testing and approving improved construction products and systems, thereby contributing to a better life for all. And in all this, I believe the benefits to government are there for all of us to see. It the result in the use of modern, more improved, and more advanced methods of construction and materials. Also, it allows improved methods or ways of applying traditional materials. A typical example is the asphalt thin concrete roads and the thin asphalt roads. I mean, these are conventional products, but the application thereof is in a modern, more advanced, better way of application. Thereby, instead of having a very thick bituminous road, you have a thin road which performs better than the thick road that was previously used. We believe that improvements in the design enhance functionality of construction, as well as enhance performance, as I've just mentioned. And I mentioned energy efficiency earlier on. And appropriate performance-based standards results in fit-for-purpose construction, as was mentioned by the acting chairperson. Improved use of resources, sustainability, I mentioned that previously, as well as we must maintain impartiality in all our assessments to ensure the credibility of the technical assessments. I'll now just turn to a slide that I've used several times before because this is a key area of our mandate. On the left-hand side, the kind of brownish area is where, in terms of a typical product development cycle, is that before you develop a product, you have to carry out the research of the technology development. And that is the area where traditionally institutions like the CSIR, the research councils play. Now, when we move over to the brighter color, the green area, is where you want to introduce the product into the market and you want to make sure that you provide people with market acceptance. And that is where Agrima plays in carrying out independent technical assessments. And once a product is has been assessed and has been found to be fit for purpose, then the Bureau of Standards can come in and provide it with the standards, South African national standards, and therefore products must comply with that particular standard. So Agrima plays in this very key role in the middle. It's a strategic role whereby we carry out technical assessment of innovative products. Obviously, when you're doing research, it's mostly a negative cash flow. Once a product is introduced into the market, that's where the profitability and you start making your money. And then naturally, the product has a life cycle and moves on. And I just want to illustrate that we work closely with the Bureau of Standards and their mandate in terms of the statutory, it's a statutory body established in terms of the Standards Act number 24 of 1945. And it continues to operate in terms of that revised Act of 208. And its area is in the maintenance of standardization and quality in connection with commodities. The key word there, ladies and gentlemen, is standardization. Honorable members, the Bureau of Standards produces national standards, which, as you all know, and then once the standards have been produced, the Bureau of Standards carries out tests in accordance with those standards and provides people with SABS mark once they qualify and they meet that particular standard. It also develops technical regulation, compulsory specifications, and I'll mention the NRCS in my next slide, and promotes design excellence and also provides training in terms of on aspects of standardization. Honorable members, another body that is quite mandate may be quite easily confused with that of Agrima South Africa is the National Regulator for Compulsory Specifications. This is a body that was established recently, and its local authorities are responsible for the administration of the National Building Regulations, as you are currently aware. And they control the on-site activities of construction projects. However, when present, professional architects, engineers are required to perform specific functions. Therefore, the role of the National Regulator for Compulsory Specification is to advise the Minister about possible amendments and changes to the National Building Regulations and thereby introduce new products into this realm of compulsory specifications within construction and promote the uniformity in the understanding and implementation of the National Building Regulations in terms of the Building Standards Act. The NRCS also provides technical advice regarding the interpretation and application of the National Building Regulations and the Building Standards Act. It has a review board when dealing with disputes. When one is not satisfied with a local authority ruling, one may appeal to the NRCS review board. It was previously a standards review board. The NRCS also conducts building defects inspections and issues reports thereupon when requested, and approve the qualifications of candidates for appointment as building control officers. This is a very key function because, as you're aware, ladies and gentlemen, honorable members, the building control officers have the authority within the municipalities or the areas of jurisdiction to approve or disapprove the permission to construct within the areas of jurisdiction. They are the watchdogs in terms of providing building planning approval. Or building construction approval. And then workshops are held periodically with stakeholders, including municipalities, SMMEs, and industry, to promote the uniformity in the application of the National Building Regulation. This is a key function, because without uniformity, then it's very difficult to have a regulated industry. And you have regulated products, and all structures as defined in the National Building Regulations. Honorable members, I'll now delve deeper into the organization. I've started from government, gone to our mandate, and I'm now on the governance, which is the oversight. We believe that Parliament performs a key oversight, and AGRIMAIR in itself has its internal board governance, which provides an oversight over the agency. We have a board chairperson, Mr. Pepe Silinga, as was mentioned earlier. Apologies for that. And the board chairperson is appointed by the Minister for Public Works, Minister of Public Works. And we do have, as a board, it conducts an annual strategic planning session. It's important for the board to have this strategic planning session, which was is conducted annually. And the board also carries out an annual risk assessment, a comprehensive risk assessment, and thereby coming up, identifying risks and coming up with strategies to mitigate those particular risks. In terms of governance, the board also ensures financial integrity of AGRIMAIR is well maintained and ensures good corporate governance and compliance with the law and ethics. In terms of governance, it holds at least 4 meetings in a financial year and focuses on consolidating its previous strategic plans and moving the agency forward. There are 3 board subcommittees, and I'll mention them here. The first is the Audit and Risk, which is chaired, which was chaired by Nozi Shabalala. And then we do have the Audit and Risk obviously focuses on financial and operational activities. And as I mentioned, they are responsible for the risk management and risk mitigation plan being put in place. And looks after the assets of the agencies as well, ensures that the assets are well managed. Honorable members, ladies and gentlemen, the second subcommittee is the Human Resources and the Remuneration Subcommittee that looks at issues related to aspects of human resources and remuneration. And the Technical Committee, which focuses on the technical outputs, and that brings me to the technical outputs, honorable members. In terms of our delivery on our strategic plan, last financial year was one of the best in the history of AGRIMAIR South Africa's 42 years of existence. And I'm very proud to have been led by such a forward-looking board, and I would say that AGRIMAIR did achieve all its outputs in terms of its strategic plan. In terms of the actual products approved or building systems which were approved, There were 8 of them. The first 4 are SIP. I'll not talk about them in detail because the details are provided in the annual report, but just mention them by name. Housing the Can, Blast, and Styrocon. These were building systems which were approved. And the other 4 were Mega Building System, LEPA, IKAIA, and Vela Steel. But in a nutshell, in the annual report, we've articulated what each particular product has brought in terms of benefits, socioeconomic benefits, or the benefits it has over conventional construction. And they include savings in terms of cost, in terms of time, in terms of ease of construction, lightweightness, speed of construction, environmental sustainability. All these examples are listed in the annual report, and I will not go into detail about each particular specific product here, ladies and gentlemen. But needless to say, I must say that we've seen great strides in the innovation in terms of building systems. Honorable members, in terms of products that have been approved, we had the Windclick as one of them, which is a fiber cement frame with aluminium sashes. It's an innovative system in that it uses, unlike the standard steel-framed windows, this uses fiber cement frames with aluminium sashes. They really look lovely and beautiful when constructed. The second one is an InfraFlash self-adhesive sealant, which is deal with that problematic junction that you have between walls and roofs. If any of you has a flat roof, you always have a problem of sealing that joint between the roof and the wall. This particular infra flash self-adhesive sealant is a very strong sealant. It's like a plastic sheet that you lay to seal that problematic joint, and it works 100%. The manufacturer says that it's 100% guaranteed that once used, that wall will never leak again. Excellent product. The isoboard over rafter and truss insulation panels is an insulating ceiling using polystyrene rigid foam boards. Looks beautiful. It's an insulation as well as a ceiling board that can be used simultaneously. We have the spantulation under tile membrane, which is UV light resistant. Those of you in the architectural building field will understand the benefits of UV light resistance benefit it brings to the under tile membrane, and therefore has a much longer life lasting than conventional products. Any of you have gone into a roof of an old building will always see that the under tile membranes are normally dilapidated. In other words, the sun has affected them to the effect that they have ceased to exist. In other words, they're torn and cut. But this one is UV resistant, therefore will be able to resist the UV light which passes through the tiling and gets to damage the under tile membrane. Then you've got the Giorgio tank, the storage tank. You've got a cyclo roof tile, which is made from graded sand and recycled plastic, contributing to environmental improvements by reducing the waste from plastics, because it uses waste plastics to make these tiles, mixing them with sand and forming a roofing tile. And contractor's choice is also another UV light resistance under tile membrane, but has a non-toxic flame retardant and aluminium foil laminated to it. So this one is even better than the previous under tile membrane. Honorable members, ladies and gentlemen, in terms of approved products, road products, we have listed three of them there, and I've mentioned before. The first one is used with cement as for road-based stabilization, and it reacts with cement to form a water-resistant, elastic, high-strength composite material that is used in stabilizing a high-quality subbase, resulting in efficient utilization of resources, and can be installed by unskilled workers, thus has a job creation potential. The second one is EnviroPrime. The name Environment gives you the hint that it has environmental benefits. It's an emulsified cutback bitumen, which promotes adhesion between the base and the upper, that's the subbase, and the upper pavement, or that's the road surfacing, by ensuring a sound, dust-free surface, which ensures that it inhibits the ingress of water into the road base. Honorable members, ladies and gentlemen, you're aware that water is a big cause of failure within roads. Therefore, this particular product, apart from being environmentally friendly, actually assists in the construction of roads by preventing the ingress of water to the road base. The third one I mentioned previously is a thin bituminous road surfacing system, which is 20 to 40 millimeters thick. 20 is just about under an inch, and 40 millimeters just under 2 inches. It's a very thin surfacing system. Those of you who have been in construction for a while will remember that long ago, road surfacing, the bituminous surfacing system, were as much as 100, 200 millimeters thick. But this is a thinner bituminous surface, but has a superior wearing course, superior higher performance. In other words, it can carry a much heavier load, and given the fact that it's thinner, it therefore must cost less in terms of material usage. Costs less but performs better, and resulting in a durable, high-quality road surfacing with enhanced skid resistance, that's poor improved performance, and a long-term functional seal life. This particular product has been tested and has worked successfully within the country. Honorable members, ladies and gentlemen, in terms of transformation, the agency has continued its strong emphasis on development of human resources and enhanced skills level, as well as efficiency of the technical staff given by the outputs. And the technical committee, that's the board subcommittee that approves the certificates, has been enhanced, both in terms of number and skill of experts utilized, and transformation within the agency has been addressed. The figures are provided there, ladies and gentlemen. In terms of outputs, and there are currently 192 valid certificates. These are products for which are currently on a list of approved products and systems. Includes broken down into three. The numbers are there: 86, 90, and 16 for building system, building products, building systems, and roads products. In our existence, in our period of existence, we've had 888 formal applications for technical assessments, and in that period, approved 512 certificates have been approved and awarded. I've listed a couple of products which have gone on to be standardized products. I'd like to thank you, ladies and gentlemen, and I'll hand over to Louise Opperman to cover the financial aspects of the report. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, and ladies and gentlemen. It gives me great pleasure to present the financial results for AgriMar. AgriMar has received 7.7 million public income. Our income from external clients was 1 million rand and sundry income 13,000, which gives us a total income of 8.7 million. The expenditure was 6.9 million, of which 4.5 million was for salaries and human resources, and running costs was 2.3 million. The overhead costs, which consist of depreciation of 375,000, shared services costs of 600,000, and the executive levies of 600,000. That gives us a total expenditure of 8.4 million. If we look at a breakdown of the running costs, we'll get to the human resources later. We had technical assessments of 384,000, building equipment repairs and maintenance, which was basically for fire safety evaluations and recalibration of equipment of 246,000, stationery of 73,000 rands, and then other running expenditure of 411,000. The agency's operating expenses was 1.2 million, and then we had year-end accruals of 13,000 rands. The agency operates under the ministerial delegation of the authority of the Minister of Public Works. The grant funding is channeled from the Department of Public Works to the CSIR. The funds are ring-fenced within the CSIR built environment in a separate competence area, and the transactions are subject to the policies and procedures and governance processes of the CSIR. The agency is also audited as part of the CSIR built environment, and the CSIR has received an unqualified audit report from the Office of the Auditor General for the last few years, and it has been hailed as an example of good financial management. If you look at the breakdown of the human resources cost, the total for 2010-2011 was 4.5 million rand. It was less than the previous year as there were less people. The average was 381,000 rand for the 12 employees. That was there at the end of March. This is just a breakdown of the remuneration for middle management and specialists, which is on D1-4. The midpoint is the market medium, and then the maximum is 20% above market medium and minimum 20% below market medium. Board members' remuneration, we in total had 53,000 rand paid out as honorariums and remunerated claims of 9,000 rand, giving us a total of 62,000 rand.
Thank you, honorable members. The conclusions are listed there for you to read, and thank you for the opportunity to present to the Portfolio Committee.
Thank you, AgriMar South Africa, for your presentation, and we appreciate that you got a qualified report. Honorable members, that's the presentation. Can we engage with the presentation? Honorable David Dapi.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I would like to greet everybody. I'm satisfied with what I hear from AGRIMA, but I have a concern. I still believe that AGRIMA is not doing enough to reach out to the rural areas. You know, if you go to the rural areas today, everybody is trying to build a nice house there. But come times of disaster, those rural areas are the most affected because maybe of the quality of the building standards out there. As a result, I believe that, you know, in the townships, like you said, you are going to municipalities, and municipalities will go to urban areas, and then in townships again, you cannot build anything without an inspector having to come and check how you go about, you know, whatever you do, process by process. But you go to the rural areas where we say our, you know, poorest of the poor people are, those who work and try to build nice houses at home. But, you know, if you go to such places, that's where you meet AGRIMA most. But AGRIMA is nowhere to be seen there. As a result, when disaster strikes, they are the most affected. That is my first question. What is AGRIMA doing to reach out to rural areas, not municipalities? You know, you can go to municipalities. You know, I think it's the cheaper way to go to municipalities and say, by going to municipalities, you know, I've reached everybody. But I can tell you today, you can see that there are strikes out there, people are striking, that councillors are not, you know, coming to us and stuff. But I think we can bridge that way and organize the very same councillors to organize meetings at rural areas for AGRIMA. You can work with them in order, you know, to be able to reach people on the ground. That's my first question. Number two, we know that there's a lot of Chinese products that invade the market. You know, there's this sheet metals that are very thin. When disaster strikes, those sheet metals cannot be reused again. And how do they come into the market if AGRIMA is there? Who approves these products into the market? That's the second one. The third one, you know, there has been a lot of instability in the Department of Public Works. Everyone knows. We would like to know, how does that affect your day-to-day running of your entity? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Rabbi W. Honorable Nwane, you will be followed by Honorable Madlala.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Honorable Chair. And thanks, AGRIMA, for the presentation. It's really appreciated, especially when we've got the unqualified audit report. Thanks for that. It really makes us proud. actually, my first question is almost the same as my colleague. It's about the way you work. The way you operate, it's like you operate in silos. You are under, although some of your finances are managed by CSIR, but you are under public works, which concentrates more on construction, and you have got very good products. But I don't understand how you really market yourself to be out there to say, this is what we're having, this is what we're offering to the country. As it is now, you've just read that there are thousands, hundreds of thousands of houses that were demolished in South Africa because of the poor standard. But we've got an entity like you that has got all the required material that can be used in South Africa. How do you market yourself? How do you stand out there to say, here am I, this is what I'm offering? Secondly, there's this other entity for public works, which is IDT, which is concentrating more on building these mud schools, the previously mud schools, but they are trying to improve the. How close do you work together? Because you are supposed to be assisting. You've got cheaper material that can be utilized within a short space of time, and then that can be transported even to those rural areas. Because most of these people that are affected by these mud schools are the rural, deep rural areas in our country. I think there's still some disjuncture somewhere, somehow. Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you. Madlala?
Thanks, Chairperson. Thanks for the presentation. My question is on the staff complements. You are saying you have 28 staff members, but when you give us the breakdown, slide 22, these numbers don't tally to 28. And then again, here my question is, do you have people living with disabilities or youth in your staff members? Because it's not clarified here. My other question is on, I see that you're getting too little money from the Public Works Department, and your staff salaries amounts to 4,528 staff members. Gets 4,500 million. Okay. Now, I want to know again, is there any place where you get funding or income, sort of? Because you are doing a good work, but now when it comes to financially, it seems you're lacking. Also, board members' remunerations. I see that some of the members don't get anything. Why? How do they function? Why? If we can be clarified. Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honourable Member. Honourable Mngoni.
In all the certificates that you issued, CEO, how many are previously disadvantaged companies or people that are covered in the certificate you issued? And two, you know, for the years that I've been in Parliament here, the question of the poor material that the CEO has been dodging. Please, today you must answer them. These corrugated irons that you can tear with hands, don't tell me about they are standardized. These things are smuggled in our public, in our country. And like my colleague have just said, that when disastrous strikes, these poor people are the most suffering people. And if they are approved by you people, you must tell us today that it's you that you approved them, so that we must start to look at this thing differently. Thank you.
Honourable Stenis.
Thanks, Madam Chair. If we just go to the last slide. There's one after that. I just want to find out, is the department politically aligned in any way, or does it operate in a non-partisan manner?
No, we don't have brown, and we don't have yellow, we've got gold. Okay. I'll take it as a joke. Now, Honourable Mwanyama Ila.
Thank you, Chairperson, will pardon me because I didn't hear the your presentation, but I take note that I've read the the annual report. Chairperson, the issue here that I've noticed is the consistency in writing of this annual report. It seems that this, the annual reports are not written in the same way. Because when looking at comparing these annual reports with the other annual reports, I think there's a difference, you know. So I think that must be taken into consideration, because I know that there's a template from the National Treasury on how annual reports should be compiled, so that as a committee we are able to track and get what we want. Then just to check the criteria, although Mama Dallas asked something about the remuneration of the board members, the criteria that is being used, so that at the end of the day, when looking at the figures, you know very well what criteria is being used to remunerate members, because in other instances, others are saying board members are not remunerated because they're public, they're part of the public service. I understand that one, but the criteria that is being used, any interns and learnerships that have been conducted in this financial, in the year under review, so that while doing the work, you're able to transfer the skill to other people. South Africa is very vast. I think we've got the challenge of the scarce skill. So if there's no strategy that is in place for the upcoming students to understand your role and responsibilities as Agrima, then it means that when you retire, there will be no one that will take over. Then instead of going forward, you'll be going back. Then what assistance do you have, any intense learnerships, if we have provided bursaries? I think some, I don't know whether it's what they want for CBE, because we are reading many documents, if there were any bursaries that have been provided in the year under review. You are saying here the JoJo tanks, they are easy to clean. I know JoJo tank, I have one. Easy to clean outside? Yes, because it was just a little bit puzzled that if you're saying it's easy to clean, then it's easy to clean the JoJo tank inside or outside. So maybe if I can get that clarity, because in your description here you have said that it's chemical resistance, job creation potential, although I don't know how, if you're saying it's job creation potential, then it's easy to clean, handle, and install. Can I get an explanation on that one? Then, Chair, I've noticed that there was, in the year under review, there was a decrease in the salaries. What was the reason? Do you have any vacant funded posts which were not filled? If not, what was the reason for the decrease in the salaries, because we expect that there's a little bit, although there's a certain percentage that you must not exceed, but there should be a little bit of an increase for you to have enough capacity to be able to execute your money. And also okay, let me pause the chair because I've read different documents.
Thank you, Honourable Member. Honourable Member, it's a pity you came late. They did explain on the issue of salaries. They will again repeat themselves. Agrima, listening to the concerns raised by the members on the type of material that is there, I think, I don't know whether it will be proper to say to you, can we look into the mandate of Agrima South Africa, that monitoring be included in your mandate. I don't know whether it will be possible or not. And the other issue that I want to also raise, in my area, some of the materials are not imported. In my area, there's a businessman who's making his own roofing sheets. And how are we going to deal with that? Because I'm not told I went there and witnessed what is being done in that shop. To say, can't we have a way, can't you have a way of monitoring when if it's possible for you to alter and add monitoring in your mandate? Because they are ripping our people, really, they are ripping them badly. The type of material, the sheet that you can sort of tear, like a paper, when you tear a paper, I don't think that is proper. They are manufacturing their own windows, their own doors, and there's no quality in the whole thing. Can't you please rescue our people in the rural areas? Because this is what is happening. And that is my plea, that we look into your mandate. Over to Mama Magran.
Sorry, Chairperson, one question I forgot to ask it. I want to know about these products, the innovative products. Are they exporting it, them, the products? Or if yes, to which country? Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you. Agrima, over to you.
Thank you very much for the questions raised. I'm going to address some of the questions or issues that were raised. The first one that you mentioned was that there was not enough being done to reach out to rural areas. And this is also a bit challenging to us because we've got limited funding. And our funds are limited to testing the products that come to us so we can run tests on, and therefore it leaves us with very little money, as you can see from the slides that we showed you, that the grants that we get is very limited. So it leaves us with very little cash, and also the certificate holders are not prepared to pay a lot more money so that we can. We can have a bit more cash. The issue of youth with disabilities, youth and people with disabilities. When we advertise for posts, we try by all means to indicate that the posts are open for people with disabilities. But at the moment, we do not have anybody in our agency who has got disabilities. That is something that we are also trying to work towards. In terms of youth development, what we have been doing as well is visit universities to recruit students to come to Agrima to do internship. And we've got a few students who we have previously trained who are now employees of Agrima. A few members raised the issue of poor material that gets into the marketplace. That is a concern for us as well. And from where we stand, I think it is more of a question of training and public awareness, and because at the end of the day, you look at an individual who just wants they try to get cheaper materials. As long as they've got a roof on their head, they don't look at long-term effects of the materials that they buy. And the products that Agrima certifies, the certificate holders would have an Agrima certificate. And those products that a lot of people use are cheap materials that do not have an Agrima certificate. And I think it is also part of our responsibility to go out there and educate people. It's more about education. Joe, do you want to
say? Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members, ladies and gentlemen. I'd like to thank you for the questions. I'd start with the first one regarding the reach to the rural areas and what Agrima is doing regarding rural areas. I'll answer this together with a question regarding IDT and the rural school and the schools, MAD schools project. I'd like to say that we work hand in hand with the IDT in the Mart Schools project, and we have seen, we regularly inform them of what products have been certificated, and they work with us, and they therefore are encouraged to use products for which are innovative and have AGRIMA certificates. In regarding the imports from China, how do they come into the market, the cheap materials and the materials manufactured by individuals in rural areas, including iron sheets, steel doors and steel windows, of which they do not meet the required standards. I'd just like to read our mandate, which focuses on, which was established by the Minister of Public Works, AGRIMA, was established in 1969 as an independent organization to bring impartial judgment to the evaluation of innovative is a key word here, construction products and systems in the interest of the consumer. Now, those products which are being manufactured in the backyards, there are standards for those particular products, the SABS standards. And SABS have it's their mandate to cover standardized products. We deal with products for which there are no standards. The import of materials is under DTI, Department of Trade and Industry, and they are responsible for the regulation of imports into the country. The question of whether AGRIMA products can be used outside the country. AGRIMA as an agency is a testing agency. We as an agency does not market individual products. We do not promote individual products. It is the certificate holders or the applicants for certification who may, if it is their business interest, export the products and as themselves, as individuals, in their capacity as a company. I'll leave the question regarding the finances to the finance manager to answer. In terms of houses demolished because of poor standards, most of the houses or the houses of which I'm aware have been demolished are actually standard brick buildings, which is a standardized product and therefore not an AGRIMA approved product and therefore under the responsibility outside AGRIMA South Africa. The current staff complement is 12, 1, 2, and the decrease in salaries is because unfortunately we lost 2 staff members during last financial year. And we also had 2 retirees. How many certificate holders are previously disadvantaged? I'll need to check on this and come back to you, but I'd like to state that the predominant number is we are getting more and more people from the disadvantaged communities coming through compared to historically, and we have seen a number of them get certificates. I don't have the exact number here, but we'll provide the number to the Secretary, to the Parliamentary Secretary. I take note on the annual reporting consistency, and AGRIMA undertakes to comply with the Treasury guidelines template in preparing the future annual reports. The Georgia tank, I'd say that it's easy to clean on the outside. I'd agree that it must be difficult to clean on the inside. The question on learnerships and internship was answered by the chairperson. I think apart from that, the only other question is a question regarding the finances, and I'll allow my finance manager to respond to those particular questions.
My alteration of the mandate.
The mandate? I read our mandate as it currently stands, and AGRIMA will be guided by whatever mandate we are given. Mm. It is a prerogative. Our mandate is currently from our Minister of Public Works, and AGRIMA remains totally committed to its current mandate and will comply with any other mandate we may be given going forward.
Oh, Boss Lydia?
Thank you.
Thanks. I thought I would just provide information in as far as it concerns the role of public works. In the construction industry, we have SABS that provides a standard for standardized material and products. That means if you have three or more products, it gets to the level of standardization and you get that product to be standardized. And therefore, at that level, SABS will monitor the standard and make sure that all the products they adhere to that standard. Then there is ACRIMA that looks at innovative products that are not standardized. One of the weaknesses of the mandate of ACRIMA is the fact that really they are reactive in their nature. They wait for products to come, they certify them. The only monitoring capacity they have is to monitor that the product that has been certified consistently keeps to the quality. That is, it is fit for purpose to the extent that it was approved for. Where there's a gap in the market is the fact that anybody can bring any standard. Any product, if it has not reached a level of being standardized by SABS, any product comes to South Africa, both externally or internally produced. I think we need to share this, that the business case that we're discussing with National Treasury for a review of the mandate of ACRIMA and to give it a juristic personality looks at those issues. It looks at actually, and I think we can mention this, criminalizing products that come into the market without a certificate from SABS as well as or a certificate from ACRIMA. It also provides ACRIMA with a monitoring capacity. Obviously, we'll use existing infrastructure like the regulatory capacity at local level, which is now the mandate of the DTI. But we are looking at this. At this point, ACRIMA, in the first place, I agree with the CEO, cannot promote one product. They can do outreach and research and development programs in areas to encourage innovation. But they cannot take one product that they have certified because they would be playing a referee and a player. One product that they would have certified and going, no matter how good it is. But what they can do, given if they had the capacity, is really to encourage innovation. So we are looking at those things. Hopefully, when we bring the legislation to the honorable members, we will address all the concerns that have been raised. The issue of the budget, again, it has to do with the fact that the reason ACRIMA is still associated with CSIR is that they're actually not an entity with a banking account that we can, as a government, transfer the funds to. And secondly, we take their budget mainly from our of goods and services budget. So those issues we are addressing, hopefully they will be adequately addressed in the legislation. Thank you, Osli. Honorable Rabu Deb.
Chairperson, one of my questions was not answered.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. With regards to the human resources cost, the CEO has answered that question. With regards to the board members' remuneration, that's based on Treasury guidelines that the CSR receives, and the members only get paid for attendance of meetings.
It's not that one, Chairperson.
Can you repeat?
the instability in the department, how does it affect your entity?
Honorable Chairperson, AGRIMA reports to the Department of Public Works, and we operate with the department in terms of we report through the IGR, the Intergovernmental Relations, and our relationship has been cordial and has not been affected at all.
Thank you for the response. Honorable Malala, you will be followed by Honorable Mwane and Honorable Ngwanyamabile.
Thanks, Chairperson. It is a follow-up. Maybe I need a clarity. I don't understand. That would mean that the board members, which have 000, didn't attend the meeting, according to your explanation. And if yes, then why are they kept as board members? Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable.
Thanks, Chair. I think, Chair, I'm partly covered by what has been said by Ms. Bigby about AGRIMA. There are innovative ways of doing things, but I still feel, I mean, it's not as if, yeah, they're operating according to their mandate. Maybe if we could sit down and have other ways because there is a problem in the country about these substandard products. Maybe even if it means they have to renew their mandate, and have something else added on that. Because they do have the skills, and maybe if you can sit down and clarify everything. Thanks.
Thank you, Maya Mavili.
Thank you, Chairperson. My first one is on the responses that has been provided by the department. I don't know whether I had the response correctly, that the budget for AGRIMA, there's no specific budget for AGRIMA, but it's taken from the budget of the goods and services. I don't know whether does it make sense. After such a long time, this entity has been established. It doesn't have any dedicated budget for it to be able to execute its mandate. So if it's not budgeted, then how do they expect AGRIMA to perform? Because they have to put money in the goods and services, then and half that money and give it to, I think it's a very serious matter, Chairperson, because if it works like that, AGRIMA will not be able to achieve its objectives at the end of the day. Maybe we need a detailed clarity on that one. I talk about goods and services. What is the reason? After such a long time, AGRIMA was established. Why in having a specific budget? This budget is for AGRIMA. Inga toli shego ma goods and services. Yes. Secondly,
now I was just calling them to order. Continue.
Secondly, just to check whether there's any representative from the department who's sitting in the board meetings, because it's supposed to be like that. While looking at the report, I've seen something, a certain allocation of 600,000 for executive levies, if I can be clarified, Chairperson, because here we're talking about money, you know. I need to know if it's an executive. Yeah, and the money. What is it that is being paid with that money? Then when looking also at that financial statement, somewhere it indicates the surplus. Stroke loss. What is it? Is it a surplus? And also clarify for me the difference between the surplus and the underspending. Because you can say the surplus while we have been we're not able to achieve some of the objectives, then you're saying it's a surplus. So if we can, I can get a clarity of this. What do you mean by surplus, loss? And also clarify the issue of surplus vis-a-vis their understanding. Then the last one, what impact has been made by SANRAL after it has made the announcement that all the road construction material must be certified by AGRIMA? Any impact?
Honorable Mnguni, you will be followed by Honorable Mazopa.
Thanks, Chairperson. My question is related to the question raised by the Honorable Mnguni Mavila. But the...
Honorable Members, can you please have one meeting? And can you please not listen to what they are discussing?
No, Ms. Chairperson. I'm just saying, Ms. Bigley also responded by saying that they don't have the budget, which is the same thing that said by Ngwenya Mabila. But my worry would be, did the AGRIMO request funding for rural areas, for visiting rural areas or campaigning in the rural areas, and then they were not given the money, you know? Because the response was that we are operating under limited funds, and she says grants. Now, you know, a grant to me is something that it's a favor, like. You may request the 100,000 rand, they'll give you 7,000 rand, you know. So is it not a budget that you ask for when you apply for the money for your operation? Now, you know, if the rural area was not specifically mentioned, because now the answer will not be relevant, your answer to say we are operating under limited budget. Rather ask and say to us, we ask the money, we're not given, and then you ask for intervention, and we ask the department, why didn't they give you money? Because we want you to visit a rural area. Thank you.
Honorable Mazopa, you'll be followed by Honorable Stan Hazen and Rahul Tapi again.
No, thanks, Chair. I think it's a related question to the response. If the AGRIMA South Africa does not have an account, that's why it's going via to CFIR. I want to check, how does the Auditor General audit them? Because they have got an unqualified opinion if they don't have an account. I want to get a clarity on that one.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Obviously, you know, the more local innovation we can encourage in South Africa, the better it's going to be for our local economy. And also, you know, we've heard about the benefits of innovation. I just want to find out what proactive measures AGRIMA undertakes in order to encourage innovation. Or do they just, as an organization, do they sit there and wait for people to come to them with products? Or do they put out, you know, problems and you know, challenges that are being faced and encourage innovation within the broader South African context? Companies and innovators and entrepreneurs to develop projects to meet and products to meet those challenges, or is it just simply a receiver of, you know, of whatever comes along?
Chairperson, mine is on performance bonus. I would like to know, what criteria do they use to pay performance bonus? Because I can see in 2008 and 9. No performance bonus was paid. 2009, 2010, no performance bonus was paid. Only in 2010 and 2011 was it paid. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. AGRIMA?
Thank you again for the question. There was a question with regards to the board members' remuneration. The 000 basically means that, according to National Treasury guidelines, any employee who's any government employees are not entitled to remuneration if they are board members. So that's why they've got a 000. Those members are government employees, or they don't qualify for remuneration. So that they did not attend meeting. The issue of SANRAL. AGRIMA and SANRAL work hand in hand. There are quite a number of products that AGRIMA has certified that SANRAL are using. And in most of the SANRAL tenders, they clearly specify that they encourage the use of AGRIMA certificate holder. An example of that would be the bridge decks that have been used quite a lot. You've got your the same bituminous roads that are used as well. Those two products have got AGRIMA certificate. The issue of surplus and loss, if you look at the financial at the financial statement, basically if it is in the brackets, it means that it's a loss. If it is not in brackets, it's a profit. Joe, you want to continue?
With regards to the performance bonus, the CSR sets a threshold of 3% of R&D income and royalties. It's based on the IR of actual and budget. So the threshold needs to be met before bonuses can be paid out. There are certain key performance indicators that needs to be met, and if that is met, there's a ratio that's applied to calculate the performance bonus. The previous year's performance bonuses were covered by the CSR, so it was not shown in AGRIMA's financial statements. The executive levies is based on 6% on external R&D income and royalties, and that is to cover the CSR's executive costs as well as certain shared services costs, for instance, the procurement department, the debtors department, creditors department, fixed asset department.
How are we, Debbie?
It's my last question, Chairperson.
No.
My last question is whether Mr. Solima Lebe is still a board member. Solima Lebe.
You'll take the board? Yes?
No.
Do you want to still make a follow-up, Ramitabu? The answer is no.
Yes.
He's no longer a board member.
Okay, I just saw his name appears on this list of board members. That's why I was asking.
Rabbi Dabi, this is the previous board and not the new board, am I right? Yes. Madraba, you raised...
I think it's 2010, 2011, so they were there at the time, not now,
these board members. Honorable, do you still have questions? Yours were you out?
The one for Auditor General, I don't know.
He's still going to respond.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Thank you, Honourable Members, for the questions. I appreciate the questions. The question regarding proactive measures to encourage innovation. Yes. The answer is yes. It's a very good question. AGRIMA does a lot to encourage innovation, both within and outside. We participate in a lot of strategic initiatives to encourage innovation with other similar organizations. For one, we sit within the CSR, which is a thinking organization. And therefore, new products come through the CSR. We've seen the CSR House come through that cycle whereby we proactively work together with the CSR to develop this new technology for the CSR House. As our membership of the World Federation of Technical Assessment Organizations, we get ideas from international sphere, the new ideas which are being developed by the world's leading economies. As you're aware, the world is a global village. And we get those ideas, we bring them here, we update our tech criteria, we get the latest information, we do a lot. It may not be visible in the public domain, but it is visible within our particular strategic niche operation, area of operation. So, yes, we proactively encourage innovation. Without us encouraging innovation, then we wouldn't be able to develop new criteria. We wouldn't be able to work with the SANRAL and the CSR to develop the criteria for the thin concrete, which is the world's first, and the thin asphalt, which is the world's first. It's a technology which has been developed here and is used extensively worldwide. South Africa is a leading energy, a leading country when it comes to road construction technologies. The CSR has the best skills in the world in the roads domain. We have the best people in the world. Our people work with us, people in the States and the people in the UK, to come up with new cutting-edge construction technologies. I just want to say one thing. The new plane, the A380, the double-decker big plane, the new technology that was developed within the CSR has been used at the new airports so that the new bigger planes can land on this particular AGRIMA-accredited building, road construction pavement surfacing. Therefore, we are doing a lot in terms of innovation. But just one or two other questions, Honourable Chair, if I may answer, which I may not have, which may not have been fully covered previously. In terms of substandard products, Honourable Members, AGRIMA will be guided by whatever mandate we are given. Our current mandate is from the Department of Public Works, and as the DDG mentioned, they are currently in discussions with Treasury, and whatever mandate AGRIMA will be given, we will do our utmost best to cover whatever the mandate is. That relates again to the issue regarding the specific budget and whether we requested additional funding. The answer is we did not make a specific request for funding for rural areas, but we will welcome if it can be included in our mandate and we can be provided this funding, and we would welcome to do that. The question of we do not have an account and how did we get an unqualified audit, I think the finance manager covered that. But we are part and parcel of the CSIR. AGRIMA is a division within the CSR Built Environment Unit, and therefore the funds come to the CSR account, but it's ring-fenced. It's not touched by anybody else. It's like our money. It goes into that pot, and you can only use it for us. And therefore, when the funds are audited as part and parcel of the CSR funding, we are covered by that audit because that funding is part of the same funding. So the funds come from public works, yes, but they're not touched by anybody else apart from AGRIMA. It's like it's our money. I thank you for the questions and the opportunity.
Thank you, AGRIMA. Follow up, Maloba. Rabbi Dabi, Wanyamavila.
Can I check something? Can it happen that if the money is ring fenced and then CSR get a qualified report and then AGRIMA SA gets unqualified report? If it is ring fenced, can it happen that they can do well and then sometimes because of CSR did not do well, they are being affected if it is ring fence.
Rabbi Dabi?
Chairperson, mine is just a request. May we be given a new list of board members? Thank you.
Mwanya Mavila?
Chairperson, my follow up is on the budget for AGRIMA, which is being ring-fenced in the CSIR. And the CSIR is not accountable to this committee. I think it's accountable to the Committee of Science and Technology. So it's just a mixed measure, you know. The budget goes this way, the accountability comes the other way. It confuses me really. What is happening? Because if the funds are being directed to CSIR,
then at the end of the day, AGRIMA must come and account to us, while CSIR is accounting to the Committee on Science and Technology. I think there's no synergy between the two. I think that matter needs to be further considered so that at the end of the day, we know who is who where.
Ms. Bickle, Public Works, can you respond to the last question?
AGRIMA, let me say, the Department of Public Works wouldn't complete its regulatory mandate without AGRIMA. When we're consulting a number of institutions that are working very close with AGRIMA, including CSIR and, in actual fact, the Department of Arts and Culture, this question we discussed quite extensively. All of them, up to now, to the time of finalization of the business case, they agree that AGRIMA fits within Public Works. The reason AGRIMA is still associated with CSIR is really a historical issue. And with the business case and establishing them as an entity of government, a standalone entity of government, will address those issues. There will always be, though, the relationship between AGRIMA and all these entities. But once we feel that the Department of Public Works cannot regulate the entire value chain of the construction industry without AGRIMA, because AGRIMA comes on new innovative products that are not standardized by SAPS. So for that reason, it is necessary for the regulatory role of the Department of Public Works. But really, this is just an interim measure which we are addressing with the business case. Once we finalize the business case and we get Treasury with all the necessary approvals that we need to get, we get Treasury to approve the establishment of a state entity. As we know, Treasury has to approve the establishment of a new entity, whatever form it will take, and then it will be become a standalone entity that reports directly to the Department of Public Works.
The remaining two questions.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. The CSR consists of many operating units, and within the operating units there are departments, of which AGRIMA is one department within the CSR Built Environment, which is one of the operating units of the CSR. The internal controls of the CSR are consistent throughout the entity, and the audit, some of the audit functions are done centrally. So the transactions within AGRIMA will be covered within the broader CSIR. Therefore, the governance processes of AGRIMA is directly linked to the governance processes within the CSIR as a whole.
A list of new board members, can you make it publicly?
Yes, Honorable Chair, we will make a list of board members available publicly. But I can read out the current names and give you a brief background of who is there and where they are. I'll begin with the chairperson, Mr. Pepe Silinga, whom you all have met before. He has retained his chairmanship of AGRIMA South Africa and is still in the Eastern Cape with the Eastern Kuka Industrial Development Corporation. He's the CEO there. Next to me is Ntebo, whom you have met today and you have met previously. She was also on the old board, and she's still on the new board. She is, her and Pepe are the two from the old board who continued into the new board. The third member is Mr. Hans Sittman, who is the executive director of the CSR Built Environment and has been acting since 2006. He is with the CSR and executive director of the CSR Built Environment. Board member number four is Mr. Denzel Fredericks, currently managing director of SHEM Consulting, Engineering and Training, an accredited training provider with services within the CETA, AgriCETA, and is a certified auditor with the South African Auditor and Training Certification Association. Board member number five is Mr. Frank Makamo, who has been with the South African Bureau of Standards, SABS, since 1997. He is the general manager responsible for SABS Commercial Division in Pretoria and is also responsible for all SABS regional offices. He's responsible for all the SABS regional offices situated in Cape Town, KZN, and PE. Board member number six, we have Dr. Jeffrey Mahachi, who's a registered professional engineer and a registered construction project manager and is currently the CEO, acting CEO of the NHBRC. Then we have Ms. Mariana Manowick with the NRCS. She started her career with the South African Bureau of Standards in 1994 and is currently with the National Regulator for Compulsory Specification, the NRCS, and is heading up the chemical and biological section within that particular area. And last but not least, we do have Adelaide Ranape, advocate. Is a qualified attorney of the High Courts of South Africa, and she is currently with WBHO Group of Companies as the legal manager. Thank you very much. Those are the eight current board members, and myself as an ex officio in my capacity as CEO.
Thank you very much. Honorable members, I think we have come to the end of this meeting with Agrima South Africa. Thank you very much for the presentation of the annual report. Agrima South Africa, we're expecting to meet with you on the 8th of November, where you'll be accompanying Public Works to come and give us a briefing on your performance as an entity together with IDT, CIDP, and CBE. So we'll see you on the 8th. Honourable members, our guests, there's tea outside. Let us have a 10-minute break while CBE will be preparing itself. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.